Good morning. I invite your attention once again to the book of Joshua as we continue our grow theme throughout this year. And the message today is God is faithful in spite of our failures. And the idea today I want you to think about, what do you do after failure? How do you get back? How do you get started again? And we're going to see that happen in the history of Israel, them coming back and them seeing the power of God in greater ways than ever. And we look in Joshua chapter 10, verse 5. Would you stand with me as we read from God's Word? Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, and they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon, and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal, saying, "Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us." So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you." Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. And it happened, as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in that day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, "So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day"? And there has been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this life. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for carrying us through difficult times. And Lord, we look to you for every need of this life. I pray for those in this congregation this morning who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day they call upon you. I pray for those who are hurting, those who are struggling, Lord, for every need in this congregation, for those who have failed and are questioning, can you ever use them again? Lord, I just lift them all up before you, knowing that you are the answer to our needs. Lord, I pray that you would reveal your presence among us today in a mighty way, that we'd see the lost saved, that we'd see the saved encouraged and drawn closer to you. And above all, Lord, that we will see you honored and worshiped and glorified. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving your Son to die upon Calvary for our sin, so that we may have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Bless us now in our study, Lord. Speak your word through me. Open hearts and ears to receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. You got your... It's not a bracelet. What is it? You got your thing? For me, it's a reminder. A continual reminder every day. If you don't have it, put it back on. If you don't have one, Brother Michael's We had to order a new batch. Last time I told you this, I realized some of you went back there and we were out by the time you went back there. But we've got more now. So, you know, they'll be available at the visitor's desk. My goal, my desire for me and for you is that we don't stay where we are. It's that we grow in our walk with the Lord. Is that your desire? Wouldn't you like to grow in your walk with the Lord? Well, my question, I want to start with a question this morning. How are you doing? How are you doing with your commitments? You know, we've written commitments and put them on the commitment board back there. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with your twice a week Bible studies? Are you maintaining them? Say amen if you're hanging in there. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Brother Doug.
Okay. You know, Beth and I are still doing them. We're going to continue doing them, Lord willing. How are you doing with your Sunday morning Bible school commitment?
Amen.
Amen. There we go. We're hanging in there. All right. Now, when you complete that commitment, be sure and get that stamp and put it on the stamp on the commitment board, okay? But how many of you have made commitments that you haven't quite lived up to? Would you raise your hand? And I'm not just talking about on the commitment board. I'm talking about in life in general. You know, and I don't ask you to raise your hand to embarrass you because I ask you just to show that we all do that. How many times have you ever said, man, I'm going to, and you can fill in the blank, and, you know, a week later, the excitement wore off and you just let it drop. Well, what are you going to do about those commitments that you failed at? Maybe it is Sunday morning Bible study that you've let slip. What are you going to do about it? Maybe it is your devotions, you know, your twice a week devotions that you've let slip. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, Brother Doug, I've already blown that commitment. No, you haven't. No. You see, oftentimes what we do is we make these commitments, we get excited, I'm going to do this. And 2 weeks later, we realize, oh man, I didn't do that. And then we say, well, it's too late now. I'm here today to say it's not too late. Okay? If you're in that position, I want you to know it's not over. You don't quit because you failed. Failure is nothing new. Okay? That's nothing new. If you made a commitment for Sunday morning Bible study and you missed and you thought, well, you know, there's no use. I can't get it back now. Yes, you can. You start back next Sunday. All right? Come back and recommit to it. And you may fail again, but if you fail again, then you come back the next Sunday and recommit to it. Do not let it drop by the wayside, your family devotions. You know, maybe you got busy, maybe things happened, and so that, you know, it just got in the way and we let that one slip. Fine. Do not stop. God is not finished. That's my message to you today. God is not finished with you. As a matter of fact, that's the first point of this message that we're talking about. First thing I want us to consider real briefly, I don't want to re-preach last week, but I want you to consider Israel's failure. Okay? We know from last week that Israel was deceived by the people of Gibeon, who came up with an elaborate plan to make a covenant with Israel to keep Israel from destroying them. So the people of Gibeon approached Israel and pretended they were from a far country, and they told Joshua, make a covenant with us. We're from a far land. And Joshua said, well, what if you're not from a far land? What if you're in the promised land? They said, oh, no, not us. We're from a far country. Make a covenant with us. And so as it worked out, Joshua and Israel did not consult with the Lord. And they made that covenant. And lo and behold, 3 days later, they find those same people of Gibeon living 20 miles away from their base camp. And we talked about the integrity that it took for Israel last week to stand by the covenant that they made in spite of the fact that the people of Gibeon lied to them and deceived them. And even though there were probably a spark inside them that says, oh, I just want to wipe them off the face of the map. They knew they had made that covenant. They had made that covenant in the name of the Lord. They were not going to transgress that covenant. So what do you do from here? I want to tell you today, God is awesome. Okay? I want you to watch what God does. After Israel displayed their integrity and they stood by the covenant that they made, God gathered five kings. The king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon joined forces, it says. Now, this is no accident. There are no... things don't just happen. All right? God set these guys up. These kings, these five kings decided since Gibeon had made a covenant with Israel that they were conspiring with the enemy, so they gathered their forces, five major armies. As a matter of fact, this is the kingdoms of the southern part of Israel, the cities of the southern part of Israel. And this is the whole bunch. And they decide they're going to wipe Gibeon off the face of the map because of the covenant they made with Israel. So all their armies went up to make war with Gibeon. So Gibeon, of course, what do? They cry out to Israel. Israel, come help us, deliver us. They're going to destroy us. You know what I would have said, right? I would have probably said, well, I promised I wouldn't kill you, but I wouldn't promise anybody else didn't, right? But Israel, Joshua didn't do that. Joshua, still in his integrity, marched the army of Israel all night long to come to the rescue of those they were in covenant with. Here's what I want you to get. They're coming across or coming out from that big blunder. But their failure did not mean that God was finished with them. And your failure does not mean that God is finished with you. You see, maybe I'm an optimist, but I truly believe if there is breath in my body, if there is breath in your body, God's not finished with me yet. He has opportunities. He has a plan. And I have no right to just back up and say, well, I failed, so it's all over. No, it's not. It's never over until God says it's over. As a matter of fact, when it's over, God's going to take care of all this old world, right? And we're going to go meet Jesus in the air, and then we can back up and say, yeah, this is what I was looking for. But until then, we have to realize that God is not through with us. And this is the coolest thing, the way that God worked this out. He had these kings come together. He gathered all the armies of the southern part of Israel to stand against Gibeon. And so Gibeon reaches out to Israel and says, come help us. Israel marches all night to Gibeon. And you know, the next morning, they fight the battle. And as I was studying this, I realized, you know what God did? This is the coolest thing. You see, during the normal process of taking the promised land, they're going to have to face each of these kings one at a time. They're going to have to hit this king, beat him, travel on down the road, hit the next king and beat him, you know, king of Jerusalem, the king of Eglon, and on and on. And it's going to be a long, slow process. So what did God do? God gathered all these guys up and put them in one spot and said, here you go. Here you go. Isn't it amazing what God does in spite of our failures? God is still God. How many times have you watched God do awesome things even when you made a big blunder? That's why I had us raise our hands in the beginning, you know, because I wanted you to realize we all fail. We all come short, but our God will never, ever fail us. Don't quit. Don't back away. Don't shy away from your commitments to the Lord. If it's worth committing to, it's worth seeing through to completion. As a pastor, I look back and I see many times that I dropped the ball. Man, and you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I look back and I think, boy, you really blew that one. You really blew that one. You really blew that one. As a matter of fact, that's probably the most consistent thing in my ministry are the times that I failed, you know. But you know what's wonderful? God knows what I am. He knows that I'm capable of failing really big. But every time, He's brought me through it. And we've moved on to better things for His honor, for His glory. Grab this. Get a hold of this. See, there are so many people sitting on the sidelines. Well, God can't use me anymore. That's a lie from Satan. No, sir. God can use you. Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Jesus says in His Word, if we've sinned and if we're faithful and just to confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin. God's not done with you until He calls you home. Don't quit. Don't back up. Keep pressing forward. See, that's part of growing. And I've come to realize, you know, the best education, can't say that I've enjoyed it, but the best education I've ever had is directly related to my biggest blunders. If you want to learn something, go to the school of hard knocks, right? But don't quit. Don't back up. Don't think, well, I've dropped the ball. No. If you've dropped the ball, you pick the ball back up and let's run again. And watch what God does. I love the next step. See, Israel believed God. Joshua believed God. He believed the promise of God. Joshua, I'm sure he's kind of feeling a little timid coming off this big blunder that he's just made with the people of Gibeon. And the Lord says in chapter 10, after Gibeon sent to him in verse 8, He said, the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them. Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Therefore, Joshua came upon them suddenly and marched all night from Gilgal. God said, don't be afraid. This is me working here, Joshua. This is not your mistake. This is God working. And you know what? Joshua believed God. You know how I know Joshua believed God? Because Joshua marched his army all night to take on these five kings. God said, go get them. Joshua got up and went with them. The next morning, those five kingdoms, those five armies, got the surprise of their life. They came to go against the people of Gibeon, and they woke to find some Israelites that were fighting mad and coming into their camp. Never did they consider that they'd be fighting Israel that very next day. And it says the Lord routed. The Lord routed them before Israel in verse 10. That word routed, there's a lot of different translations that do different things. One translation says discomfited. New American Standard says confused. And New King James says routed. It means He threw them in a panic. Okay? They see Israel coming and the first thought is, we got to get out of here. Scared to death. And Israel ascended upon them and it says kill them with a great slaughter. But the story gets better. It says that they ran. And as they ran, God cast down great hailstones. And more died from the hailstones than who were killed by Israel with the sword. You want to know what's really cool about that? You get this in your mind. Israel arrives there in the morning. They've marched all night and they attack these five armies. These five armies go into a panic and they begin to run. Israel begins to chase them and God begins to throw hailstones at them. What's really cool about that is He only killed the enemy with hailstones. Isn't that cool? I see God up there saying, watch this. You know? Watch this. Watch what I do. But you see a people that's fired up and ready to believe and ready to move and ready to act on the promises of God. And I love the last line of verse 14. It says, "For the Lord fought for Israel." I remind you again, God is not done. You see, I've went through this part in this heading of "I believe God," because I want you to understand you can't believe God and do nothing about it. Okay? Belief is always accompanied by action. Always. James 2 says, "Faith without works is dead." So many, you know, they sit down and they've gone through that failure and they say, "Well, Brother Doug, you don't understand what I've been through." I don't care what you've been through. No reason to sit down and quit. "Well, Brother Doug, I've got my reasons why I don't do anymore." You may have your reasons, but you don't have a good reason. A viable reason. Oh, listen, my friend. God's not done with you. It's not okay to quit. It's not okay to lay out a Bible study on Sunday morning. It's not okay not to have family devotions because you let last week slip. It's not okay to back off and slack off because you failed. You may be a failure. You can sit around and feel sorry for yourself, but I want to tell you, your failures do not affect who your God is and what He wants to do. Israel is still taking the promised land. And God's still got a plan for your life. He's still got that plan. He just expects you to get up and believe Him. You know? Let me ask you a question. What have you been putting off for the Lord? What have you been putting off? Who's that person that you've been going to witness to for the last year that you've not done? Why ain't you done that yet? What are you waiting on? Brother Doug, it scares me. Listen, do you believe God? Do you believe God? Do you believe God? You know? Yeah, amen. We believe God. Are you a witness? Do you let fear keep you from telling people about Jesus? "Well, Brother Doug, I just can't. It makes me nervous." Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. You know what that says? "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." You know the last line? What is the last line? "Lo, I am with you always. Even to the end of the earth." Even to the end. "Lo, I'm with you to the very end." Do you believe that? Jesus said it. Do you believe it? Are you a witness? If you're not a witness, you don't believe it. This is where it gets quiet, isn't it? You see, here's the challenge. We need to quit living on the level of "I can't" and start living on the level of "God can." This is my God. My God can do all things. We're going to talk about something great here in a minute that God did for Israel. But you know, we use such passages as Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And we throw out our chest as we're saying it. And then when the challenge comes along, we say, "Oh no, I was just kidding. Just kidding, didn't mean it." Yes, we mean it. I want you to realize this morning, it does not matter who you are. It does not matter what you've done. God is not through. He's not through at victory. He's not through with this preacher. He's not through with your Bible study teacher. He's not through with your children. And beloved, He's not through with you. Because when He gets done, He'll take you home. Don't back up. Don't back up. Our God is faithful in spite of who we are and our failures. And then finally, I want you to understand our God can do anything. I love the last part of this. You get to this part and you read Joshua's prayer. And Joshua, as they're chasing down the enemy and they're running through the countryside and God's hitting, killing them with the hailstones, and you know, and they're still chasing them. And Joshua realized, hey, we're not going to get this thing done today. There's not enough daylight today. And if we let them go through the night, they'll get somewhere and they'll regroup, and we'll have twice the job tomorrow. So Joshua prayed. You know what he prayed? He prayed, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in Ajalon." What kind of a man would pray, "God, stop the sun"? Here's a guy with a prayer life. Now, I'm just telling you. Who would have thought of that? Who would have thought? And you know what the Lord did? The Lord did it. He answered the prayer. The sun and the moon slowed down to the point that there was 2 days worth of daylight in that one day. And you know, and I've read, and I'm really not intelligent enough to prove this to you. I've read that there's a day missing in our lunar calendar, and that you can go back and you can trace it back to this. And I don't doubt that. But I'll tell you what, I don't need some scientist to tell me that my God was right, that He really did what He said He'd do. You know? God did it. That's good enough for me. The sun stood still. Joshua's prayer. God's answer. Do you understand the boldness of that prayer? Do you understand the boldness of that prayer? Here's the last thing I want to leave you with. Big prayers produce big results. Okay? When I was going through this, it dawned on me. I spend way too much time saying in my prayer life, saying, "Lord, bless me, bless them, help us to serve you," and blah, 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 and here we go. And I spend way too much time with that. And you see, when I say amen at the end of those really generic prayers, God answers them. You know? But I got to thinking, now, I'm not telling you to pray for the sun to stand still, because God said that's, you know, it hadn't happened before and it hadn't happened since. Probably not going to happen again. But it was needful that day. But let me ask you this. What are you praying? What big things do you want God to do in your life? What major power of God, you know, do you want to see? What are you, you know, what's your prayer that is, "Sun, stand still. God, part the waters." I truly believe that we're kind of lukewarm Christians because our prayer life is lukewarm. We don't ask for the big stuff. We don't even want the big stuff. How often have you got down on your knees and said, "God, give me the big stuff"? And I'm not talking about selfish, you know, prayers that we just pray. Because we want to please ourselves. You know, Mark 11:23 says, Jesus said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Is that the word of God? Did God say it? Did God mean it? What are you praying for? Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Did Jesus say it? Absolutely. Did He mean it? He didn't say anything He didn't mean. What's your prayer life like? As I said, and I'm not suggesting, you know, I'm not this name it and claim it guy. Y'all know that. All right? I'm not this name and claim it. God wants me to be rich. God wants me to have a Cadillac. I don't believe in that for half a second. Okay? But I do believe that we miss the power of Almighty God because we're not bold enough to pray to see that power. You want to see somebody lost who's saved, or you want see somebody saved who's lost? Get on your knees and ask God to move in a big way. You want to see something else? You want God to bless your ministry? Get on your knees and ask Him to bless it in a big way. Ask Him to stop the sun. You know? What's your prayer life? Why don't you ask for the big stuff? Is it because you don't believe God will really answer? I want to tell you something. God's not a liar. God is not a liar. You see, we've got to decide where we're going to go from here. And we can use whatever excuse we want to use. Well, I failed. Well, other people hurt me. Well, whatever. All that don't matter. The question is, where are you going from here? My prayer is that you will move forward praying the big prayers for God to bless in a big way. Come to the end. Here's my question. Where are you going from here? Where are you going from here? Are you going to move forward? Are you going to pick up that cross again that you dropped and let slide? Or are you just going to sit on the sidelines? I want to tell you what, the kingdom of God is not a sideline watching thing. Okay? It's being active. It's being involved in kingdom work. You may not, you know, and understand. I understand that everybody's not a teacher. This isn't a, you know, you need to go be a teacher. Everybody's not supposed to be in the choir, even though Brother Dale thinks they are, right? But everybody's not supposed to do the same. But God has a ministry for you. Okay? God has a ministry for you. Are you actively fulfilling that ministry role that God has placed you on this earth for? If not, why not? Where do you go from here? First step is surrender. Total surrender. Lord, wherever you lead, that's where I'll go. Second step, get on your knees and pray the big prayers. Look for God to do the things that you can't do. You may be here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to just present you with the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died so that you could have an eternal home in heaven. He had to die to pay for your sin debt because the wages of sin is death. And you're a sinner. And so Jesus gave His life so that you could have eternal life. Have you called upon Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? If not, this invitation's for you. Maybe you're here and there's a call that God is calling upon your life that you need to surrender to. Maybe you're here, you just need to spend time at the altar. Whatever the need is, surrender's the first step. Just do what God calls you to do. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for your love, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us, that you don't just cast us to the side when we fail. And Lord, we know that sometimes we get discouraged because of our failures. And so today we just come to you and pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us now. That you would encourage those who are brokenhearted and downhearted. That you would lift up the fallen. And that you would give us a renewed zeal that we may serve you with a new excitement. And that we will be faithful to your call upon our lives. And we pray most of all, Lord, for those who are lost, that today will be the day that they come to you. In Jesus' name I pray.